Join me in this quick prayer. Our eternal God, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us just by waking up and getting started on our day. We give you thanks for that. Now, Holy Spirit, do your work. Do your work, Holy Spirit. Inspire our hearts and revive us again as we are in this Pentecost season. I pray that you will speak truth to our hearts. Convict us where we need to be convicted. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. Empower us in those places that we need to be empowered, so we can go out and serve this world and tell others about our wonderful Savior. In no other name but the name of Jesus the Christ, let us all say amen. Amen. The scripture for today is taken from Mark chapter 6. It's a short one today, from verse 45 to 53. Immediately he made Jesus, his disciples, get into the boat and go on ahead of the others to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After saying farewell to them, he went up on the mountain to pray. When evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. When he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind, he came towards them in the early morning, walking out on the sea. He intended to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'd like to speak to you from this topic, God's providence for our problems. Turn to someone and say, God's providence for your problems. Now, turn to someone else and say, what the preacher is trying to tell you, that no matter what problem you are facing, God's got you. That's simply it. God's providence for our problems is simply to tell you today that no matter what problem you may be facing, God's got you. That's some assuring words. So we look inside this text, Mark chapter 6. Jesus just finished, the background to this story is Jesus just finished feeding 5,000 men, excluding women and children. So it was a lot of folks. He just finished feeding all these people. Then he said to them, "Now I need you to go and get in your boat and go over to the other side." My first point for this evening is we can trust God's providence because he can orchestrate every situation for our good. That's a very long point, I must tell you, right? But what providence is simply is, for those who are not familiar with that term, providence simply is God's protective power and God's power to keep you in the midst of a storm, or not even a storm, to keep you in life. God's providence is just God's ability to keep you in the midst of life. So my first point is that we can trust God's providence because we know he can orchestrate some situations for our good. We see this in this text because the text says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowds. Jesus in this text if we believe that God knows everything, Jesus knew that a storm was about to happen. Jesus knew that storms are going to happen. And in our lives, we recognize that no matter how long you live, storms are going to happen. But Jesus, at the same time, told his disciples to go ahead and get in the boat and go along into the midst of this storm. We trust God because I was kind of wrestling with this idea here. What do you do when the person that you thought is supposed to save you is the person putting you in the midst of the storm? What do you do when the person that you thought is able to keep you or keep you from everything bad? And at least that's what we like to believe, right? That once you become a Christian, every day is Sunday and everything is sunshine. That once I said yes to Jesus, everything, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago, everything changes, but not everything changes necessarily for just good stuff. But sometimes God puts you and places you in situations in which there's a storm. But we can trust God in this because Jesus at the beginning of the text says, go ahead to Bethsaida. Now I got excited about that because if Jesus said, go ahead to Bethsaida, Jesus must have known that no matter what storm was about to happen, they were going to end up in Bethsaida. That you can trust God in the midst of your storm, that if you are obedient to what God is saying in your life, if God said, go to Bethsaida, you can count on it that you're going to end up in Bethsaida. You can count and trust God's providence in the midst of your storm of your life, because if God said, go, you know you're going to arrive safely at home. If God puts you in it, then God is able to keep you through it. God is able to keep you in the midst of the storm, no matter where you may be facing. We can trust God's providence because if God said to go to Bethsaida, you're certainly going to make it. But we also can trust the providence of God because in this text, we see that Jesus is praying. After leaving them, he went up to the mountainside to pray. So they're in the midst of a storm, and Jesus is praying. It is in prayer that Jesus sees our problems, and we can assume that he was praying for them in the midst of what they were then experiencing. We know that we read this in Romans chapter 8, where it says, Christ Jesus right now is praying for you. No matter what problem, no matter what storm you may be facing, you can rest assured in the midst of your storm that Jesus is praying for you. And Romans goes a little further and says, if Jesus is praying for you, then what then can separate you from the love of God? If Jesus is there interceding for you, then no height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, no power, nothing shall be able to separate you from the love which is in Christ Jesus, because Christ is praying for you. And the disciples found this out, that while they were out there struggling against the storm and riding through the winds of life, Jesus is praying for them. And that's good news for us today, that no matter what storm we may be in, we can rest assured, first, that God knows how to orchestrate some things, and secondly, that Jesus is praying for us in the midst of our storm, and nothing shall be able to hurt us in the end, because Jesus is praying. So we trust God's providence because we know that Jesus is praying for us. We can trust God's providence because we also recognize that he knows how to orchestrate our situation for our good. But not only does Jesus pray for us, but we see this in the text. Jesus didn't just watch them idly by while they were in the midst of the storm. Jesus responded to our problems, right? It's not that Jesus is only praying for us. It's not that Jesus is orchestrating this, but Jesus then responded to the problem. The Bible says about fourth watch of night, he went out to them. Now, I don't know if you are familiar with ancient timekeeping, but the fourth watch of night is between 4 and 6 a.m. So imagine now let's set this all up. It was evening time when Jesus put them in the boat and said, go on ahead of me. Jesus then didn't respond to around 4 or 6 a.m. in the morning. Now, I don't know about you, but I have some problems with Jesus, right? Jesus, I saw you praying for me. I know you're praying for me. I know that you orchestrate all this stuff, but can you just answer a little sooner? Like, God, why does it take you so long to respond to my situation? I've trusted you. I believe that you have providence for my problems. I believe that you are able to respond, and I believe that you're praying for me. But it took 12 hours before it took Jesus 12 hours before Jesus responded to the disciples. And this made me think of an illustration that I used here before. It made me think of cake. Do y'all remember this? No, oh, great. It made me think of cake. I love cake. Don't judge me, right? I love cake, right? There's actually a cake that I prefer the most. I just had it this week and it made me so excited. It is Cake Man Raven. I don't know if you know him, but he has this red velvet cake. Go out and find it. Do what you need to do. They open like once a week, but go out and find and get this cake. It will change your life, right? Jesus and Cake Man Raven will change your life. I hope I get an endorsement from him, right? For saying that, right? But anyway, so it made me think of cake, right? Have you ever had cake? And you tasted the cake, and the cake was just extremely dry, that you needed some water, milk, just something. You probably just put the cake down after that, right? What that meant was that they left the cake in the oven a little bit too long, so it dried out. But have you guys ever had cake, and the cake was a little bit too wet, like it was heavy? And what that really meant was that they took the cake out a little bit too soon. The thing I like about God is God is a master baker. God knows when to put you in, and God knows when to take you out. So if he left you in that storm, if God answered every one of our prayers as soon as we wanted God to answer us, we will have no faith at that point. We will think that God is just our cosmic bellboy that answers us whenever we call, right? But if God leaves us sometime in some problems too long, we might just lose all kind of faith. But God knows when to put you in, and God knows when to take you out. God knew when to respond to them and knew when not to respond to them. So whatever problem we are going through, we can trust the providence of God, that God knows when to put us in, and at the right appointed time, God is going to take us out and respond to our problems. God knows when to put you in, and God knows when to take you out. So we trust God's providence as God orchestrates it. We trust God's providence because we know Jesus is praying for us. We trust God's providence because God then responds to us. But now as I take my seat, I just had to skip over a couple, right? We can trust God's providence because God uses our problems for our betterment and for God's glory. Now, how did I get that in the text? Well, the Bible says, I'm gonna fast forward a little bit. Jesus comes out walking on the water. And then once he gets to them, he says, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. The one thing that I just wanna put a pin in there, then Jesus gets into the boat. Jesus is in the boat, but the storm is still going on. Because as David Jeremiah said, safety is not the absence of trouble, but safety is the presence of Jesus. That you are safe as long as you are in the presence of Jesus. So even though the storm was still going on, nothing changed in the storm. Jesus still responded to them, got into their boat, and the storm kept on going. But they calmed down. And Jesus was kind of saying to them, if y'all will calm down, I will calm down the storm. If you calm down your heart, if you take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. While you're going through this, I might calm everything else around you down. But that was not my point. I just got excited about that, right? My point here, right, is Jesus uses our problems, right? At the beginning of this text, let me read the text. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. When I started off the text in Mark 6:43, Jesus said to them, get into the boat and head over to Bethsaida. However, once Jesus got into their boat, they ended up in Gennesaret. Y'all didn't get it. All right, so listen. Jesus, they started off at Bethsaida, which is known as the porches of infirmity. That's where they were headed. But once Jesus got into the boat, they landed in Gennesaret, which is known as the place or the garden of the prince. When you are going through the storms of life, if you would allow Jesus into your boat, the places that you were heading before, which was to Bethsaida, Jesus would navigate you to somewhere else, and you will end up in Gennesaret. You started off going one way, but once you allow Jesus to get inside the boat, they ended up in Gennesaret. I'm trying to tell you today that once you allow Jesus in the midst of your problem, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your anguish, once you allow Jesus to get inside your boat, recognize Jesus is coming and allow Jesus to get inside your boat, the places that you were heading before, Jesus will then redirect you to a new and much better place. I don't know about you, but I don't want to end up in the porches of infirmity. I don't want to go to the place of Bethsaida. I want to go to the garden of the prince. And you may be asking me, what is so spectacular? Why am I so excited about the garden of the prince? Because the Bible says, Isaiah said that our Jesus, our Christ, is known as the Prince of Peace. I want to be where Jesus is. If you allow Jesus to get inside of your boat, get into your situations, get into your problems, open wide the door to allow Jesus to get in, you will move from the place of Bethsaida and keep on going until you reach Gennesaret. But what we need to do is allow Jesus to get inside of your boat. We trust God's providence because once we know God is inside of our boat, once we know God is the captain of this ship, we know that we will end up in the places of peace. We will end up in the places of joy. We will end up in the places of tranquility if we will allow Jesus to get into your boat. So that's why you can trust God in the midst of your pain. Trust God in the midst of your promise. Because not only does God orchestrate everything, not only does God respond to everything, not only is Jesus praying for you, but you know that God is able to use that moment for something even better. That you allow Jesus to get inside of the boat of your life. Your life, as I said 2 weeks ago, will never be the same. That's the challenge for us today. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what problem this problem is. I don't know what pain you may be carrying. I don't know what guilt. I don't know what shame. I have enough of my own. But one thing I do know is that if you allow Jesus to get into your boat, the places that you're heading before, you would get a new direction. It's known as a course correction to the place of peace, joy, and love. So in this moment, I'd like to pray for you all. And we're going to now accept the prayers of the people. I'd like to pray with you. Maybe you need a little more faith to believe God in the midst of your storm, to believe that God's got it and God's got you. Maybe you need that. Maybe you're confused about where to go, what to do in life, and you need some help inviting Jesus on into your boat. But I'd like to pray with you. So you don't have to feel obligated to do it, but is there anything in particular? And I'll like to open this space now that you can name, either you can name it vocally. I'd love to hear it, and we would like to come into community with you and pray with you. Is there anything that I can pray with you for? So we will pray with you. Say he needs prayer. He has a court date tomorrow dealing with issues stemming from after his mother's death. And I'd like to pray with you. Is there anything else that we could pray for? Healing. I pray with you. Okay. Sure. So job and moving. Anything else? Difficulties at work. Man. Say it again. Focus and direction. Discernment. A school that services. Say it one more time. Sorry.
Prayer for a good school.
Okay. Prayer for your little girl who has special needs. A good school. Faith to continue to grow. Anything else? Well, let us pray together. Pray with me. God, we are so grateful that we have, as the writer of Hebrews says, a high priest who is touched with the very feeling of our infirmities, that we have a God who came down to earth and took on, as the prophet Isaiah said, borne our griefs and our sorrows. So God, you understand all that we are facing. Father, hear the needs of your people, from school choice and job choice and moving and healing and court dates and difficulties at work and for faith and for discernment, for all the things that were mentioned here tonight, God. We thank you first that you know, see, and understand our problems. We thank you that you are praying for us even as we are praying. And we also are thankful that you are also a God that responds to our problems. So God, increase our faith. Let us know that you are near to us in this moment. I pray that you will open the doors that need to be opened and close those doors that need to be closed. I pray that we'll open our hearts to you even more in these challenging seasons of our lives. I pray that we'll allow you to get into the boat of our lives and offer that course correction that we so desperately need. So teach us, Lord, to wait on you, knowing that you have all power, you have all ability, but help us to wait. And God, for those who did not name anything, but in their hearts they're struggling with something, whether it's healing, whether it's direction, I pray, God, that you would hear the prayers of their hearts and grant that which is in accordance to your will. So while we wait on you, God, to respond, give us peace, give us patience, give us endurance. For we don't know what to do, but certainly our eyes are upon you today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In no other name but the name that still has power, the name of Jesus the Christ. Let the church say amen.